After talking with Brother David, you know, the Lord had really been dealing with my heart about some things, and definitely not only has the church failed in other places, have the church also failed here? Have we truly, as believers, and really the word Christian, I just choose not to use it sometimes, but as believers, have we kept the mandate that God put upon the church? Have we really done that? In Matthew 5, 1 through 16, and most of you know this at the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus made his teachings to his disciples. He gave them truth for them to build character and cherish in their lives. And we pick this lesson up, or message, however you choose to call or process it, because it's only how you process truth that change the hearts of believers.
That's right. It's good.
In most cases, for me personally, I'd rather use the word believer than Christians. I will not elaborate on why I don't like to use the word Christian, but you read between the lines. Most believers are no different than the dead today than the followers of Jesus. They all wanted dominion and prosperity. Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5 speaks of poverty and sorrow. How many of us really want poverty and sorrow?
That's right.
For many, these words known as the Beatitude. Beatitude means a state of utmost bliss. The Sermon on the Mount was not from earthly riches, but from the milk of human kindness comes true beatitudes. This sermon was like cold water on the hot and enthusiastic people had for the kingdom. You know, we got all this great enthusiasm for the kingdom, how the kingdom should be this and how the kingdom should be that and how the kingdom should be that. But when the need of the word comes, all of a sudden, no, this ain't how the kingdom is. The kingdom is supposed to be joy, peace, and all this stuff. But how about Jesus went on the cross? Are you willing to go on the cross?
Yeah, that's right.
And the thing is, and you know, those believers in that day were no different than they are today. All they wanted Jesus to do was two things. Make them rich and make them free. Yeah. Church in a different, or believers in a different.
Yeah.
They got all these expectations of becoming rich. For instance, have you ever seen Mike Murdoch?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, be for real.
Yeah.
That's not the kingdom. That's not the kingdom that God is talking about. And basically, truth will turn that type of belief upside down. That's exactly what happened with these people that Jesus was speaking to. There are many believers who want to be blessed with God without the cross in their life.
That's right.
The word says, no cross, no crown.
Amen.
If you skip down to Matthew 5 and 3, it says, the poor in spirit, the humble, those with destitute hearts, sense their spiritual need and seeks after God. Do anybody really pay attention to their spiritual heart needs to seek after God? And you know, if you would do this, you would have the advantage of great joy, of being able to cry out to God for help. You know, the only time we want to cry out to God is when you give us up.
Yeah.
Lord, will you bless me? You know, somebody in my family is sick. But how many times do we truly cry out to God from the true sense of a spirit filled heart of love and joy to God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sister Karen, she just amazes me sometimes. Mm-hmm. She said, you know, while we was in Europe, in Romania and Bulgaria, she said, when you go into those small churches, you just feel a sense of the Holy Spirit, a move of the Holy Spirit, like you don't feel nowhere over here.
Right.
Because of a different agenda.
Yeah.
Those who mourn for the hurt. You know, the ones who weep over the pain of life can be confident of God healing and comfort. The Greek word translated comfort is also used to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Do you ever really think about what the true ministry of the Holy Spirit is? You know, in all sadness, in all heartbreak,
yes,
the Holy Spirit, if you yield to it, will move to give you joy.
Yeah.
You know, even in all of your struggles, every situation in your life, the Holy Spirit is right there to move and give you joy.
Amen.
Even when you're getting off in the wrong direction, one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to steer you back on course.
Yes.
But the thing is, do you listen to it?
Amen.
So many Christians, do we really know the voice of God? Do we really rely on the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives? The meek. Meekness is not weakness, but it's power under control. How many people or young ministers that are in a position of power that are meek? They're not.
They're arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
Totally out of control. It implies an humble acceptance of one's lowly position before God, but trusting in Him. Do we really humble ourselves or get lowly before God and trust God? You know, God, I'm going to put this in your hand. I'm not going to sit here and write out nothing or to fool nobody or try to trick nobody, but you know, Lord, I'm going to go in.
Amen.
Believing that you're going to move. How many times do we really do that? Do we really trust God that He's going to move in every situation in our life? 5 and 6, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you really hunger and thirst for righteousness? The believer who seeks justice and holiness, and all most importantly, God is whose presence is the fulfillment of joy. It's fullness of joy.
Amen.
So I want to ask you something. When the last time you truly thirsted for God? When the last time you truly thirsted for God to move in your life, for God to show Him Himself, like you would if you was out in 100-degree heat and needed some water, you would be real thirsty. But have you thirsted that way for God? Have you thirsted that way for the Holy Spirit to move in your life? We have a sad indictment on us as believers.
Yes.
Are we going to have to wait for the people on the outside to come to us? Or are we going to go to them? But the thing is, what will we have to give them when they go? What will we have? The merciful, or the people that are helpful. Are you a helpful person? For believers, mercy is a spirit-led ability to manifest practical, compassionate, and cheerful love towards those suffering over. You know, mercy will attain mercy.
Yes.
And find true happiness is being merciful to others. The last time you showed somebody some mercy, the last time you tried to truly help them, When's the last time you saw somebody some true love? I know we say we all do, but when have you went out your way?
Yeah.
Who wait for them to come to us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the church, you'll see, you're right by a house and see the lights cut off. But do you ever go ask them, can I help you pay the light bill? You wait for them to come to the church. And then what we do? The stewards, the trustees are making the decision. And then they'll go talking junk. Well, you know, if you would make that one go to work, then the light bill would get paid. But the thing is, have you ever thought about if you help them out of a heart of love, that it might draw them in?
Mm-hmm.
I know this preacher that was moved to Durham. And when he went to Durham, church dead. Nobody was there. So the preacher went out into the streets and began to tell the kids, look, come to the church. We started an afternoon program. You know, we're going to help y'all with your homework. We know mothers have to work and the children have nowhere to go. So we're going to help you. So you know what? Within 3 months' time, the church was packed. Because you know why? The preacher extended a heart of love.
Yes.
And not only that, when the kids began to tell me, you know, Pastor, a lot of times we don't have food on the weekend. So they made sure on Friday, when they sent those children home, they had enough food to last them the whole entire weekend. Then you know what happened? Then Project Mama started coming to church, and they started giving their life to the Lord.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it went from being a destitute place to a house of people that really love the Lord. And you know what? Those mothers went out and told other mothers that was destitute just like them. But do we really, truly show people a heart of love?
Yes.
Or extend a hand, a helping hand?
Mm-hmm.
The pure in heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many times we say, well, nothing but the righteous or nothing but the pure in heart shall see God. But you know what? The other definition for the pure in heart is the holy. Do you truly live a holy lifestyle? Do you have holy thoughts? Do you have a clean conscience? In Scripture, these are most holy, are also most joyful. I've seen the most unhappy and unjoyful church people. The Word says, are they holy? You know, I really want you to just rest this tonight. The peacemakers. The other translation for peacemaker is a healer. Are we truly healers? A healer is a person where two opposing forces, and they take those two opposing forces and they bring them together. And they reconcile. And then they all join together in a joyful and peaceful experience. And you know what? True peacemakers, not only that, they reconcile people back to God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was the true sign of the great peacemaker. Do we follow his example of making peace? Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Yes.
Verse 5 and 10. Prosecution is suffering wrongly, being punished for being righteous. Although suffering is never fun, those who remain faithful through it are blessed to be identified with Christ. Do you want to be identified with Christ? You better get right to do some suffering.
That's right.
That's it. And one other point that I really want to drive home tonight. After the lesson or Sermon on the Mount, notice Jesus said believers should have two things working in their lives. first was salt and the next was life.
Mm-hmm.
Life. How opposite is salt and life? How opposite is salt and life? Have you ever really thought about it? Why would he say salt and then life? Salt has a number of great characteristics. And these illustrate the believer's role that we should be having in this world.
Yes.
It hinders the spread of corruption. It creates thirst and enhances flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when Jesus said that if the salt wasn't, once it lost its saltiness, it was to be thrown out, or it was to be walked upon, or traipsed upon by man. Well, you know what? The Roman soldier, each week after he was paid, he also received a portion of salt because they needed it to preserve their food or whatever. But if you really sold your heart that week, you got a big portion of salt.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't sold your heart, your portion of salt was very weak.
Yeah. Good question.
Yes, ma'am.
Does salt draw out impurities?
Yes. But we don't really get that.
Mm-hmm.
When it says it hinders the spread of corruption, then everything is impure.
Yes.
It'll get rid of it. It does away with it. Do we really allow the Holy Spirit to work his soul in our life to get rid of those corrupt thoughts?
Yes.
To give us a thirst for the Word, or a thirst for God. And you know what? Have you ever thought about, man, when you really begin to get a thirst for the Lord and really begin to go after him, you know, really begin just to dwell with him, to spend time with him in worship, to spend time with him in communion, how the whole flavor of your life changes. It becomes a sweet spirit. You remember that song, there's a sweet spirit in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's the Spirit of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had that sweet spirit working in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Believers who live out of this virtue, described in the Beatitudes, achieve all three of these purposes. When your life matches up with the Beatitudes, then you achieve all three purposes. It hinders the spread of corruption. It creates thirst. And it enhances flavors. As believers, this was puzzling to me within my spirit. As believers, have we stopped the way the world look at believers? Have we as Christians or believers, have our lifestyle, the way we live, have we really changed the way any believer looks at the world? Jesus changed all unbelievers of the way that they looked at him. As we as being with Jesus, have we changed the way anybody looks at us? It breaks my heart.
Amen.
Deep down inside, that people have no respect for the church. They have no respect for believers.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, first thing, those day I was at the gas pump, and this lady was behind this guy, and she was just hollering at him. It looked like he would go ahead and pump the gas and get out of the way. Got cussed out. And after he filled his, he got his gas, he said, you know what? You couldn't wait 5 minutes on me. And then he asked her, do you go to church? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. He said, that's the way a Christian should act.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is, how have we shown ourselves to the world?
Right.
Has our preaching, has our teaching really
been a truth. Truth changes everything.
That's right.
Untruth corrupts everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus noticed the last thing he said, light. As a believer, have we been a light to the world? Have you been a light to your neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been a light to the person that lives right beside you that will say, you know what? I want what you got. You say that you have Christ in the inside. I want that because I've seen your light shine. Jesus said, don't put your light upon the sun where can't nobody see it.
Yes.
But you know what? So many of us are afraid to show our light because we know that it's not bright, that it's dim. Can you find your way in a dark place with a dim light? Then how can we give darkness to a world with a dim light? How can we give light with a dim light?
Amen.
How can we do it? Has anybody really hungered or thirst for what you have?
Mm-hmm.
And then, what do we say? What do we say to a dying world? What do we tell broken and hurt people? The ball's in your court.
Amen.
What are we going to do? As believers, as people that have sat in home group meetings month after month after month after month, have went to church, have prayed, have spent time with the Lord, do we truly believe the truth? Then if we believe it, why would we not walk out? God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.